This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We hit the field light all day light, all night light. Here we go, Keep it on.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into the first edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine. He is Daryl Ryder, and thanks for tuning in to 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com, or wherever you're listening. This is our first of many podcasts, Daryl. I'm excited.
Many?
We're doing many? Of many.
Wait a minute.
This is weekly. Right now, you're stuck with me weekly, so you better buckle up.
Wait a minute. When did this happen? I didn't get that memo.
Yep.
I was not carbon copied on that memo or email.
It's the fine print in
or
your
text.
Contract that you didn't see. You're stuck with James in a small, confined space having to talk Browns, Indians, and Cavs with me. Stuck with me talking Cleveland sports once a week.
And there's always something to talk about.
Usually, there's a ton.
Usually a multitude of things to talk about.
Absolutely.
Like, the Browns will fire a coach. The Cavs will, like, trade a key player. And the Indians will lose a playoff series, like, all in the same day.
That's right. All things that are going to come up at some point, I think, this year.
Yes.
In Cleveland sports.
Well,
maybe
except
not
for the
firing the coach.
Yeah, I don't think the Browns are going to fire a coach.
Not in 2019. Let's start there. There's a lot we have to get to. Championship Sunday, we'll talk NFL playoffs. We'll get to the Indians. Corey Kluber, Trevor Bauer will probably be sprinkled in. But we got to start with the Browns. Got to start with what happened on Monday. Freddie Kitchens introduced as Browns head coach. It feels like, and we had our predictions at 92.3thefan.com. That's who you predicted, Daryl. That's who got the job. It feels like everyone's on board with this. Are you?
That's just because I'm smart. That's how that happened. I'm just that smart. I was able to figure out that Freddie Kitchens was going to be the head coach. All my other predictions, like, aren't coming true. But, you know, 1 for 25 isn't bad.
Everyone calls you dangerous Daryl Ryder. Maybe
yes.
It should be intelligent Daryl
no,
Ryder.
No.
Daryl Ryder.
Vocabulary, words that are not used with my name in the same sentence. Intelligence is, like, at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Athletic would be probably number two behind it. But I like the hire. I liked what Freddie had to say. He certainly touched on, like, all the right notes. He won the press conference. He's 1-0. He's undefeated as the Browns head coach. He won the press conference. There have been many who have not won the press conference. Pat Shurmur comes to mind. Eric Mangini comes to mind.
Yeah.
Michael Lombardi as GM comes to mind. He actually got destroyed in that press conference. That's something we got to talk about at some point, too, is, like, epic Cleveland press conferences. And let me tell you, the Cleveland Browns are, like, the leaders in the clubhouse of awful yet epic press conferences over the years. But, yeah, I think Freddie struck all the right notes Monday, and... you know, we'll see. Everyone's optimistic. It's a season of optimism. They're coming off of what, for them, was a really good year. But I like that Freddie said that that's not acceptable. You know, guy, it's crazy that everyone's so excited that the team went 7-8-1,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, here in Cleveland is cause for celebration. But in the grand NFL scape, it's not a good season. You've reached mediocrity. Mm-hmm. Like, the Browns have gone from, like, unwatchable to mediocre. And for them to do that in 1 year, like, that is a quantum leap forward, because they have been stuck in crap for basically 20 years. Every year, 4-12, 5-11, sprinkle in a 3-13, the occasional 7-9. I mean, they've had a winning record just 3 times in 20 seasons. That's how bad they've sucked.
Yeah. Man, no, and to me, the Freddie Kitchens thing, the thing that impressed me most about him, and I'm not going to act like I knew who Freddie Kitchens was in September, because I didn't. And I watched him on Hard Knocks. I watched all of Hard Knocks, but I didn't know who Freddie Kitchens was. But I will say this.
I learned who he was by watching Hard Knocks.
Yeah, exactly. I saw him on there, but it didn't process. I did not process, oh, that's Freddie Kitchens, until he got promoted. I will say
I'm
this.
I'm like, though, one guy, if Hugh is here in 2019 that won't be here, it's that guy.
Yeah, that's right. He's genuine, though.
Yes.
He's honest. He's himself. Seriously, like that to me is the thing that all the takeaways. He obviously gets along with Baker and all that stuff, and that's
all
great.
Well, I mean, he finds out that Joel Bitonio's on the morning show, and he decides to call the radio station. Yeah. I mean, it's
yeah. Recording this on a Wednesday, he called on the Ken Carmen show with Anthony Lima this morning.
Like, who does that?
No one. And that to me, that's the fun part, is because I think he has the X's and O's and he gets all that, but he's genuine and he's himself and he's not afraid to speak his mind. And if he continues that, that's a good pairing with Baker, who clearly is willing to speak his mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the trio matches up and aligns between John Dorsey, Baker Mayfield, and Freddie Kitchens. I think that those they're three peas in a pod. They pretty much have similar personas. They will just tell it the way it is. They don't sugarcoat anything, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are some that, you know, say, hey, you gotta play the game. You can't just, you know, wear your emotions on your sleeve, and you gotta be diplomatic and things like that. And you know, Baker gives zero Fs, which you're either gonna love him for it or not, but he's a Cleveland Brown, so everyone here in Cleveland loves it, and everyone around the league is gonna come to hate Baker, you know. You know, there's a couple of national talk show hosts right now that hate Baker, and it gets Cleveland fan all riled up and, you know, ready to defend Baker's honor. But get used to that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You better get used to it, because it's not stopping. And the more success he has, the more
he's
people are going to speak out. Yes.
The more he's going to be hated, the more people are going to want to tear him down. And I think the more Baker's going to feed off of that, because that's who he is. And that's what's going to make him successful, mm-hmm. is that, okay, I mean, part of me wants him not to win the Rookie of the Year, just so he has that chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want to give it to Saquon? Okay, yeah, so he had 2,000 scrimmage yards, whoop-dee-doo, he did it in New York. Guess what? We finished with a better record than the Giants did, and I broke the NFL record for touchdown passes, and you still don't want to give me Rookie of the Year? Like, so from that standpoint, see, what I'm interested to see is how Baker performs in success,
mm-hmm.
when people are patting him on the back and have him up on that pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, now the expectations for Baker alone are even raised. And I was high on him going into the draft, and I think a lot of people were. But even those people, I think, are expecting more in year two. And they should, because the weapons around him are going to get better. It'll be another year with Freddie Kitchens. All of that stuff. He should be better than he was as a rookie.
Well, I hope so, because there were some things in his game that he's going to have to work on, that he's going to have to improve on. Now there's tape on him for not only divisional opponent, but the entire schedule, mm-hmm. next year, that they're going to be able to study, they're going to be able to look at, and go back and figure out what they can do to limit his productivity. So, you know, it's a give and take here. He had a great rookie year, and you don't want to discount that. Set the franchise rookie record. He beat Brandon freaking Whedon's record for for passing. Again, reasons the Cleveland Browns have sucked, number 1,726,000. 199. Brandon Whedon was the leading passer in franchise history as a rookie.
That's insane. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
Brandon Whedon, because you think of Brandon Whedon, here's what I think about it with Brandon Whedon.
Him getting stuck under the flag.
Too old, yes. That, and he was drafted and he was already old.
And the shovel pass.
I felt like he was 42 when he got drafted. See, I know he was like 27, 28.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a grandpa when he got drafted. But see, this is how we know you are not from Cleveland, because you have no idea why Brandon Whedon is forever in Browns lore. And none of it has to do with the fact he was like collecting his golden Buckeye and AARP card when the Browns drafted
him. Well, I saw that he got stuck under the flag.
Stuck under the flag, yep. Numero uno, and the backhanded flip pass against the Detroit Lions will live in infamy.
So he's not Pat Mahomes, is what you're saying.
He's no. But you know what? Great guy. You know, I make fun of him, obviously. I remember watching him at practice. I mean, I thought I was watching Joe Montana. He was dropping dimes in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put 11 guys on the other side of the field, and it turned into a cluster, you know what. So, you know, I make fun of him. He was a great guy. And he's made a career of being a backup in the National Football League. And he's made a lot of money doing it. So
the Browns have drafted a few of those. Colt McCoy.
I think half Brandon the National Whedon. Football League is comprised of former Browns quarterbacks that now serve as backups.
Yeah, that might be fair. You know who's not going to be one of those? Baker Mayfield. And that's the difference. Like, if you're Freddie Kitchens, this is, and I think a lot of us had it as the top job. And not being biased, but it was probably the top job available, or maybe 1A behind Green Bay if you want to put Aaron Rodgers and the Packers ahead of him.
And yet there was no top coach to hire.
And that's the interesting thing, and that's the good segue.
By the way, welcome to Cleveland, because this is what happens. Just when you're in the position to get, like, the guy, there is no guy.
Yeah, and there isn't a guy. Like, I wrote down on the paper here on our very... We put hours and hours into this prep sheet for the podcast, by the way. Hours and hours.
We did nothing. You did.
Hours and hours and hours. The name's on here.
I walked in with a can of tea and said, okay, are we ready?
Mike McCarthy, Bruce Arians, Greg Williams, obviously, are three names that were mentioned and talked about. But there is no clear-cut guy this year, this offseason. There wasn't.
Nope.
And that's why you see all these names from Cliff Kingsbury getting hired. Just these random Zach Taylor potentially getting hired in Cincinnati.
Well, I'm really glad like they didn't hire Adam Gase. That guy looked like a man possessed in his introductory press conference.
You talk about press conferences. Can you imagine?
By the way,
Twitter destroyed him.
Well, and if you have not seen the video, you're living under a rock. But the video, the memes, the GIFs, all the stuff circulating on social media from that press conference, epic.
Have you seen Bird Box yet?
No, I'm not.
You have to, and I'm not one of those that says you have to see it.
No, but I have seen stories where idiots are driving around blindfolded and crashing their cars and wondering why they crashed their cars with a blindfold on.
Yeah, well, never do that. Never do the Bird Box challenge. I assume that's what that's called. But he looked like one of the, I'll say, possessed people from Bird Box.
Okay.
And listeners that have watched that movie, that's how Adam Gase looked at times in his press conference.
Okay, which
is really weird.
That does not entice me to actually want to watch Bird Box, by the way.
That's fine. Hey, I don't work for Netflix. I don't care if you watch it or not.
That is not going on the watch queue.
So many people are like, oh, you have to watch it. No, watch it if you want to. I watched it. I had a free night, so I watched it. It was okay. Wasn't great, wasn't bad.
I saw all the memes. I got the bit, I got the joke, and I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Understand the bit, and that's it. That's probably the most fun part about the movie. So if you get that part, you're fine. Anyways, did the Browns make a mistake that they didn't go after Mike McCarthy harder or Bruce Arians or Greg Williams or any of these other coaches that were more established, had more experience than Freddie Kitchens?
All right, I'll start with Bruce Arians. Too old, too many health concerns, and they wanted this to be a hire that... The guy's going to be here possibly 5 to 10 years down the road. Bruce Arians will be here for 2 or 3 years and then turn it over to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually agree with them. Now, they can't come out and say that age is a factor. I'm of the belief, and I want to stress, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been told anything, but I am of the belief that his age and his health were factors. And also the fact that he spent the entire month of December campaigning for the job. I mean, I am still moved by that the Browns are the only job he was willing to come out of retirement for. Oh, by the way, this just in, Bruce Arians named head coach of the Tampa Bay freaking Buccaneers.
That was the thing that rubbed me the wrong way.
It doesn't rub me the wrong way. Very little rubs me the wrong way. I have a very snarky, sadistic, twisted sense of humor, and I actually found it amusing.
Not that he took another job that he openly campaigned for. He could have easily have let people know in Berea, hey, I'd totally be interested in this job if you're interested in interviewing me.
Well, you know why he did that.
Without going on SportsCenter.
Got his name in the mix, and ended, that's how he ended up with Tampa Bay. Well, hey, wait a minute. If you're willing to come out of retirement for the Browns, would you come out of retirement for us?
Yeah.
I mean,
the weather in Tampa's pretty nice. That's a good retirement gig for Bruce.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, I don't think that there's very much expectation that they're going to win a whole lot in Tampa right now.
There isn't. In that division? We'll get to the Saints in a bit, but you know, because they're playing this weekend. But to me,
as long as Drew Brees is playing,
I do have one concern with Freddie Kitchens, and I totally get why the Browns hired. And it's really less with Freddie Kitchens and more with the NFL in the way they're hiring coaches now, because Freddie Kitchens is actually much more proven of an offensive mind than, especially in the NFL with Baker, than some of these guys that are getting hired.
I mean, hey, he called plays for 8 weeks. What do you want from the guy?
Correct. But in the NFL, no, 8 weeks is better than Cliff Kingsbury,
yeah,
who hasn't called plays for who? Zach Taylor is an assistant to Sean McVay. If you serve Sean McVay coffee, you're getting head coaching interviews now.
Well, to your point, it came down to him and the offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski from the Minnesota Vikings.
I know.
Who called plays for all the three games. By the way, I would have had a coronary if they hired Kevin Stefanski over Freddie Kitchens.
I agree with you. I totally agree.
Those were the again, most attractive job in the league. Your finalists, and no disrespect to Freddie, I love the hire. I think he's going to be a great fit, so don't take it this way. I'm just having a little fun here. But the reality is you were the most desired job in the league, and your finalists were Kevin Stefanski and Freddie Kitchens.
No one knew who they were in September.
A pair of interim offensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's just the Browns' luck. Now, I would have gone apoplectic if they hired Stefanski.
The one that was intriguing to me, and I just assumed it would happen, and I think a lot of people outside looking in assumed it would
McCarthy.
Happen. McCarthy?
McCarthy. Yeah, well, because of Dorsey, Alonzo Highsmith, Elliot Wolf, the top three guys in the personnel department that came from Green Bay, and same thing. Like, the day he got fired, the first thing I did when I got in the locker room was I wanted to talk to Demarius Randall, and I wanted to talk to J.C. Treader, because they played for the dude. You know, and wanted to talk to him about Mike McCarthy, because just you try and the NFL is a relationship business, and that's probably the thing I liked most from Freddie's press conference on Monday was he talked a lot about that relationships matter. You have to trust the people that you're working with. You can't worry about if they're trying to subvert you and stab you in the back, or you know, if you can't be insecure to ask a question of somebody that you've hired on your staff and not worry about their reaction to you asking that question and having that teamwork, you know, getting to know your players more than just you play linebacker for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that about Freddie. And I think the bloom fell off of McCarthy's rose the last couple of years in Green Bay for a couple reasons. You know, what was it? 12 years he was there. They made the playoffs 9 times, 4 conference championship appearances. They won a Super Bowl there. Mm-hmm. You can't argue with the resume. If you talk about the guy, it was him. Like, he had the resume.
Mm-hmm.
I just think these last couple years, when you look at the talent the Packers had and the fact that they couldn't do much in the postseason or get to the postseason, and you got Aaron Rodgers, and that relationship soured and went south or got saltier, however you want to describe it. Well, do you really want to put that type of personality with a kid like Baker Mayfield? Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows Mike McCarthy. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, but these guys, you know, Dorsey, Highsmith, Wolf, they know Mike.
Mm-hmm.
They know his personality. Same thing with Freddie. That's why Freddie's seems like the perfect hire. You've been around him for a whole year. You know what he is day in and day out. You have a known quantity there. Your only question is, how he's going to handle the administrative duties that comes with a head coach, because he's been an assistant all his life, tight ends, quarterbacks, running backs. So he's doing the grunt work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is he going to be a good delegator? You know, how's he going to handle when a player gets in trouble off the field and you're trying to keep it quiet, or it does become public? And, you know, to me, those are the things, you know. Certain game situations, you know, if it's 4th and 1 at your own 48-yard line and it's the third quarter, game's kind of tight, you know, would you go for it, mm-hmm. you know, late in the season, or would you just punt and try and pin them deep and be conservative and things like that? So that stuff's going to work its way out. But having the known quantity, there's value there. There's tremendous value there. And I think that the bloom off the McCarthy rose the last couple of years. And I went back because I remember, like, you know, hey, Mike McCarthy's available. I think I said it on the air. I think tweeted it or wrote it or something. And I had some people, hey, man, you might want to dial down the enthusiasm for Mike McCarthy. And they sent me a couple of things. Say, hey, watch Packers, couple things, watch these things, and tell me what you think. So I watch them. Game management, clock management, and a half management, timeout management, stuff like that. I really started to pay attention to that. And I'm like, okay, I think we're okay if the Browns don't hire this guy, even though his resume is so impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the hot blonde. You see her across the room, you can't wait to talk to her, but the moment you...
Did you just compare Mike McCarthy to a hot blonde?
I did. And the moment they open their mouth, it ruins it for you. Kind of the same thing, same principle, okay? Yeah. So Yeah, I mean, the resume is impeccable.
That's just the last thing I think about when I think of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
threw me for a loop there, Daryl.
This is what I do. I throw people for loops. I pull stuff out of my ass and, you know, make it up as I go. But it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looks good on the surface. Looks great. But once you get to know it, once you dig deeper, maybe not so great. And you understand why they're available.
He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast, episode one of many, Daryl, of many. Yeah, I'm with you. And if you just tweet out Mike McCarthy's name, you're going to get a lot of, oh, he doesn't know how to call games. To me, and I get it, the past couple of years they have underachieved in Green Bay. But to me, I don't think that a coach just forgets how to coach.
No.
So, and it's not just the Freddie Kitchens thing here in Cleveland, because I think that was a good hire. But the idea that Mike McCarthy shouldn't get another shot, but Adam Gase is, or Cliff Kingsbury, or Zach Taylor.
Well, you know, the AFC East is like the biggest, it's the most incestuous division in all of football.
Yeah.
Like, they just swap head coaches. That's what they do.
Yeah,
you get fired by the Dolphins, go coach the Jets. You get fired by the Jets, you go coach the Bills. The only team that doesn't participate is the New England Patriots, because they got the hoodie there. And I think that's what makes what Bill Belichick has done in New England just so freaking impressive, because at some point, the message wears off.
Mm-hmm.
The bit gets old.
Sure.
And that's a big reason why I think Greg Williams isn't the head coach of this football team, is because that only gets you so far. The persona and it wears thin at some point. And you started to hear a little bit about that coming out of New England this past year,
mm-hmm.
about Brady and Belichick and the friction that they've had over the years, and that it's wearing thin, and how long can they continue to go, and are they sick of each other? Because that's human nature.
Sure.
You
20
know?
Years?
Yeah.
Think about that. That's 20 years they've been together.
Like, you're married, right?
No, I'm engaged.
You're engaged. Yeah. Okay.
Been together a long time.
Okay. I'm not married, but I know this for a fact, because I know a lot of people that are married. There's going to come a time where you'll run into a situation where you're sick of your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you still don't love her. That doesn't mean that you don't care about her. You want to be with her. You love spending time with her. But there's just going to be some things where you're just like, I need an hour away.
Sure.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing. You know, and I think that part of what happened in Green Bay is that they just got sick of each
Agreed.
Other.
Agreed. And that, to me, that no one debates that Aaron Rodgers isn't great, right?
Right.
Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, they got sick of each other. So they divorce.
Yep.
Fine.
And it was an ugly divorce.
But that doesn't mean Mike McCarthy isn't the blonde that you mentioned. That doesn't mean that he didn't forget how to, that he
right.
forgot how to coach. And that was my, about the whole NFL. How did he not get 8 interviews or 7 interviews? And it was really telling, though, that the Browns kept pushing it back.
I'm not a fan of guys that go from team to team. Like, as mm-hmm. far as, like, immediate. Like, if you get fired, all right, I think this story's been told, but I'm going to tell it. And I'm going to give the real, because we're on a podcast here, so we can be a little looser with how we describe some things.
Sure.
So this is in either it's like December 30th or 31st or January 1st or 2nd. I forget the calendar after the 2008 season.
Okay.
Romeo Crennel and Phil Savage, GM head coach, both fired. The team was like 4-12 or whatever. So the owner at the time, Randy Lerner, brings all of us that cover the team up into the big boardroom upstairs before they, you know, renovated the facility for the 250th time since then. But they had this big room up, and so we're all gathered around this table, and we start talking about potential replacements. You know, Randy had already explained to us why he made the changes and everything. And someone in the room says, hey, Eric Mangini just got fired by the Jets. And Randy had the look on his face like he got the best BJ he'd ever received. He jumped out of his chair, was completely orgasmic, grabbed his secretary, and in front of us, had the secretary schedule an interview with Eric Mangini.
In front of you.
In front of us. Like, he walked to the door. Like, he didn't even bother walking out of the room. Like, I forget who I was sitting next to. I said, you know, Eric Mangini is the next head coach of this football team, and our life is going to be a living mother effing hell, right? Because he's Bill Belichick wannabe 2.0. And sure as can be, you know, Randy was just completely smitten with the fact that I guess Mangini was puking up his guts the day of his interview, and he still showed up for the interview. And Randy was just smitten, and he hired Eric Mangini. And I am a believer that you should take a year away. Like, if you're fired as a head coach, I don't think you should go from one team to the next right away. Because I don't know many guys that have been successful doing that.
Plus, you invest so much into it.
Right.
It's so much. Like, I mean, you're invested all
the time. Adam Gase was not great in Miami.
No.
Like, to your point about, I don't think he forgot how to coach and all, but he did nothing special in Miami. That's why they fired him.
I would take Kitchens over Gase. And not even close to me.
And
just
so the,
an example.
And so the Jets hire or jump at the opportunity to hire him. And, you know, Greg's joining him in New York. By the way, Greg Williams in New York City. Cluster F. Did you see the, what was it, the New York Daily News or whatever, the snarky newspaper in New York City? Another example of why I laugh when the organizations in Cleveland think we in the media are just so awful here and mean and like disrespectful and rude. The cover of the New York Post. I want to make sure I get the publication right because I don't want to disparage or make fun of any publication without
giving them the credit.
Pause. Right.
Give them the credit.
So the New York Post, their page. Cover of their sports page has a picture of Greg Williams, and I'm disappointed they actually used a picture where you can't see Greg dropping an F-bomb. Like, he doesn't have angry F-bomb face. He's yelling. Yes, Greg is yelling, but it's not an F-bomb. So, like, it's totally not Greg. Like, first of all, you're already misrepresenting who he is right off the gate, because he's not yelling F. Bounty Gase is the headline.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I just showed it to James right now, and you can find it online or you can find it on my Twitter feed. Bounty Gase.
What's your favorite Greg Williams quote? Mine is put your testicles in the C-gap.
That's pretty good. Well, I'm not allowed to say the F-word, right? We can't say the F-word here, even though we're on a podcast. So I'm just going to say anytime Greg Williams said the F-word.
Okay.
Like, it was to a point, like, my dad used to coach baseball, so, you know the clicker for the pitch counter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to borrow that from my dad and just like stand on the practice field in training camp and just click it every time Greg Williams dropped an F-bomb.
Oh, man.
But if I remember correctly, the counter that my dad had only had double digits on it. I don't think it got to triple digits. So it would have been an inaccurate count.
Yeah, you'd have to say, I went through the counter three times. Right. We're on the fourth run through.
We're on the fourth rep.
Yeah.
We're on the fourth rep of the counter. And
you'd
we're
have to
47.
Have a counter for the counter.
Right.
Is how you'd have to do.
But
Greg Williams was a guy, obviously did a good job, went 5-3 down the stretch for the Browns.
Hey, you know what? He's had a lot of job opportunities. That might be my favorite, was when he told us how he had like 4 or 5 head coaching jobs that he turned down or
just
something.
Just come and sign on the dotted line.
Come and sign on the dotted
no
line.
No interview.
Oh, man. It's good to be Greg Williams, man.
How much of a fib do you think that was? It's the biggest fib, right? Did he even get a head coaching interview besides with the Browns?
Well, how about me in Baltimore when the season's over? I ask him, hey, if this doesn't work out in Cleveland and you don't become the head coach, do you think you've earned the right to be a head coach in this league because there's 7 other openings? And he says, yes. Word on the street is yes. And then he freaking winked at me.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Who was talking to him? I don't know. Maybe his agent is the best hype man.
And this,
I got 22 jobs lined up for you, Greg.
And that is part of the reason he's not the head coach of this football team either. Because his ego and his balls are bigger than his brain. And you can't coach that way. Not when you're trying to win games, not when you have playoff berths on the line, not if you're in the playoffs and advancing in the playoffs is on the line. You have to, at times, you have to be able to put the brain in front of the ego and the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I point to the decision he made in Denver. Now, it worked out.
I literally
out.
Just thought about that.
It
yep.
worked out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to critique and criticize the result. The decision was still effing stupid. It really was. You kick the field goal, you go up 4, you make them drive the length of the field and score a touchdown on you in 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you
With
do.
With Case Keenum.
Yes, with Case mother effing Keenum.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if there was something with the kicker that we didn't know about, at the time or something. Fine, then he probably should have come out and said it or leaked it out somewhere or whatnot, but that was just a dumbass decision. And those are the type of decisions that cost you the ability to make the playoffs and cost you the ability to win in the playoffs. Again, there's a difference between having testicular fortitude and just being plain old stupid. And he, at times, and I love Greg, don't get me wrong, I do. He's a lot of fun to cover. He's very good at motivating players. It's part of the reason he was given the interim. You know, he galvanized that building. I remember writing and saying that the team was that the season was headed right down the toilet. I wrote it, I said it, and I was dead. And I admit I was dead wrong about that. Because I just looked at it as, okay, we're headed for 3-13. Here we go. Buckle up. You know, this is going to be a real lousy 2 months, 2.5 months. And it was the best 2.5 months I've covered this team in years. So I think that that's a big reason why he didn't get the job. And there's a lot of Hugh Jackson in him, you know, BS artist.
Ego,
BS artist. And you can't have your leader of your organization like that.
Fair. That's completely fair.
And
I think it's telling that there were no other interviews.
Well,
5-3 down the stretch. You know, it galvanizes a Browns club. The Bengals, they beat the Bengals twice. The Bengals didn't reach out. You know, I mean, so that to me says a lot. Even Miami, they hired a defensive coach in Flores, who's not with them yet. He's with New England. But it's if you were going after a defensive guy, Fangio, Greg Williams, like he'd be on your list. I just think he's that coach. And there are coaches out there like this that are better coordinators that are not designed, are not wired to be head coaches. And I think that's Greg Williams.
Yeah. And like I said, I like Greg a lot. But when you're talking about being the head coach, there is a certain way you have to project yourself. And I will give him credit. Like, he dialed back in those 8-9 weeks that he was like the interim coach. He dialed back the caricature quite a bit. Okay. Because he's just the guy that yells the F word on the practice field all the time. He's put your balls in the C gap guy. Okay. And that's fine. And I think that what we live in a very politically correct culture. Things you could do 5, 10, 15 years ago and say you can't do today. You have to be very socially conscious and respectful of those around you. And they're, it's permeating the NFL a little bit. They're trying to make the NFL more of a corporate culture within locker rooms and stuff like that. And that's not Greg Williams. Greg Williams is not a politically correct guy. He doesn't care if you get offended by something he said. You know, the Bounty Gate stuff that gets held against him, while, yes, morally wrong, do you really think that Greg Williams is the only guy in the history of the National Football League that ever did something like that?
No, he did not invent that. No.
He was just dumb enough to get caught on tape talking about
it. Sure.
Okay? Let's be honest about that. And that's part of the reason he got the second chance that he got. Because if he was the only one to do it, that's grounds for just you're excommunicated from the league forever. But everyone in the league knew that kind of stuff went on. It's kind of like players that smoke pot. It's the league's dirty secret. Smoke your pot from training camp until about mid-January, or if you're in the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl. Then we give you 2 months to get clean. And then on April 20th, we will do a pot test. Okay? And if you fail it, you're a dumbass. Now, if you have any history with pot or any prior transgressions with pot, all your teammates may smoke pot to deal with their pain, but you can't touch it because you already have a history. Oh, that's the other part. Don't be dumb enough to get arrested with pot. So if you're going to do it privately. And it's the similar dynamic there.
Something like, tells me you've covered Josh Gordon for far too many years.
I have. and he had more issues than just pot.
I know.
But to my point, that I think that's why he got that second chance, because they're like, he's not the only one to ever freaking do this, okay? It's the dirty little secret. It can't happen again because of now, like, it's easy to find stuff out today. You know,
and he's good.
I mean,
it's proof he's a good coach, too, because if he was an okay defensive coordinator, he's not getting a second chance. He's a good defensive coordinator.
I've heard stories about the 80s Browns teams, okay? The AFC championship teams and stuff that they did before playoff games or before games or whatever, that today, if it ever got out, like, it'd be the end of the world. I'm not going to get into any detail. I'm just saying, I've heard.
Sure. Well, so, the game's completely different.
Was it Joe Theismann that smoked the cigarette at halftime? There was a photo.
Not Theismann, but yes.
Who was the quarterback that had the cigarette at halftime? It was a black and white photo.
In a Fresca? Was it drinking some kind of pop? You're right.
And if that happened today, if that happened in today's day and age, like back then, like that's the coolest thing in the world. Guys having a beer and drinking and smoking a cigarette at halftime of the Super Bowl. And if that happened today, like people would lose their collective. You know what?
Len Dawson.
Right, that's here. Who it was. There yep. It is. Okay.
I mean,
I at least was in the scene.
And it was a Fresca too. Yep.
It was. Look at you. You had the beverage now.
Cigarette and a Fresca. I saw it the other day. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
That's an iconic picture though.
But, you know, like if that happened 2-3 weeks from now, it's Super Bowl 53. Someone takes a picture and it's Tom Brady or Drew Brees doing
Pat Mahomes. People would freak out if Pat Mahomes put ketchup on his macaroni and cheese at halftime.
Oh my God! Like so, that just speaks to my point of just how times have changed.
Yeah.
And you have to be cognizant of things. And I just think that Greg would have been totally the wrong fit when you're talking about having to be cognizant of how you're representing the organization.
Yeah, I think Greg Williams would have got you to 7-8-1. 8-1, 8-7-1, 8-8, 9-7, maybe.
Jeff Fisher 2.0.
Potentially. Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
7-9 BS.
And speaking of 7-9, 8-8, what are your expectations for next year? Because to me, I look at the Browns, I think fans should expect playoffs. I think you have a franchise quarterback. I think the Steelers are hurting some. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be there. I think the Bengals right now are in flux. Who knows what's going to happen with them?
Right.
You look at Baltimore, yeah, Harbaugh's probably going to stay around. Lamar Jackson, they're interesting. I don't know how good they're going to be. That defense is older than people realize. The Browns, if you told me they won the division next year, I would say that that's more likely almost than them not making the playoffs. Like, I think that's where the expectation should be.
You're just a bandwagon jumper. You're with all the millennials. You're doing the trendy things. Browns are going to win the division next year. That's you.
I said Browns are going to be good with Baker, too. I thought they were going to be good with Baker. I thought that was the right pick. I thought Ward was the right pick at 4,
by the way. Can you write down the lotto numbers for me then, since you're this?
I'm just saying.
Kreskin over here?
Oh, I remember Cleveland freaking out, and I knew a lot, and I was in Cincinnati during the draft, but it was, oh my God, they passed on Chubb, and they got Ward. It's going to be awful. They didn't draft Sam Darnold. They went after Baker Mayfield. I was like, yeah, it was the right pick.
Actually,
he's better.
I didn't flip out. I said Denzel Ward was a perennial Pro Bowler.
But a lot of people
did. I just want to set the record straight.
Yeah, and not you, but a lot of people did.
That's two things I got right this year.
Two. Look at you. Last year.
Last year. That was Denzel. This year,
Freddie.
I'm off and running.
Look at you.
Off and running.
You've already matched last year's total.
Yes. I'm overachieving. By my standards, I'm overachieving.
Is 10-6 okay? That's a good expectation. Yeah. That's fair, right?
That's the bar I've set. 10-6. Yes. 10-6, wild card.
Yeah.
And again, it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds to expectation because they're no longer a bye week. Nobody's looking at their schedule saying, hey, who do we have next week? Oh, we got the Browns. And no one's saying, well, who do we have the following week? Let's start preparing for them. Because you didn't have to prepare for the Cleveland Browns. All you had to do was just show up, spend 60 minutes on the field, collect your victory, and leave. You can't do that. And so... The Browns are going to face stiffer competition next year because you're going to have teams that are going to come in ready to play them, knowing and respecting the talent that's on the team. So I'm interested to see how this team responds to that because not only, you know, on paper, the schedule's a little easier than last year, but the effort level that they're going to face is going to be different.
Sure.
They're going to be treated with the same respect as, you know, maybe a team that's coming off a playoff berth or something like that, or, you know, the Patriots get, you know, there are going to be teams that are, the Bengals are going to aim for them. You know, the Steelers aren't going to take them lightly anymore. The Ravens sure the hell ain't going to take them lightly anymore. Okay. So, that while 10-6 might be my expectation, I don't know that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember after they went 10-6 in 2007 and of course did not make the playoffs that year. the following year went 4-12 and everybody got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone expected they were going to win 10, 12, 13 games that year, be in the playoffs, advance in the play, everything, right? And then training camp comes, everybody gets hurt. Braylon Edwards gets stepped on because he's a dumbass walking around practice without any shoes on. Romeo Crennel comes up, well, kids will be kids. Like, I mean, just the dumb stuff that happens to this franchise, like, they're fighting that still, mm-hmm. believe it or not. Like, they're doing everything in their power, John Dorsey and the Haslams and Freddie Kitchens and the new coaching staff and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf and Andrew Berry, everyone in the personnel department. Like, they're fighting all these goats. You're not even, like, the Browns, you're not only competing against the rest of the NFL, you're competing against all the crap that hovers over this franchise mm-hmm. year in and year out. If they had, they didn't have bad luck, they have no luck at all. So that's why I'm excited about the future, but like I don't expect. I think expect is a wrong word because I've covered this team for as long as I have, and I know that if it can go wrong, it will go wrong, and they're also fighting that. So they need everybody to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know.
It's a lot to ask.
I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that have to go right for them to get to that 10-6. Now, is that a reasonable expectation for a fan? Absolutely. Yeah, you could have made the playoffs this year if you didn't have Hugh Jackson back. I mean, you blew four games in the first eight.
Yeah.
So, let's see. 7 + 4 equals 11, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Math whiz Daryl Ryder.
They could have been 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are what they are. 7-8-1. But they were good enough that they could have been 11-5 last year.
And the reason I think expectations should be raised is because of John Dorsey, because of that front office, because they
finally have people that know how to pick football players.
They've proven that they can improve the roster.
Yeah.
And that they're willing to make trades and that they're willing to make necessary moves.
John Dorsey didn't have to set out on a 5-year voyage to fix a football team like Sashi Brown set out for.
Correct.
He just said, we're going to do this, 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 make a bunch of trades, sign a bunch of guys, boom, let's roll. And that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. And now can they go 7-8-1 to improve the roster even more, improve the depth at linebacker even more, improve on both lines even more to get it
receivers,
to 10-6.
Receivers, linemen.
Yeah, because I think they
corners.
Can use a receiver. I think they can use a corner. I think, you know, there's a bunch of stuff, a linebacker or two. I think he can get that done. And so if there was ever a time where I thought the ghosts of Brown's past, if there was a quarterback, if there was a regime that mm-hmm. could deal with that on their shoulders and still overcome it, it would be this regime.
You need transcendent people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to LeBron James in 2016, down 3-1 to Golden State. You needed a transcendent, historic series of events to overcome everything mm-hmm. that not only hovered over the Cavaliers, but the city of Cleveland and sports and everything else. And that's where the Browns are at. They will need that transcendent player. And what Baker has done is he's given people hope that he might be it.
Mm-hmm.
He's undersized. He's been kicked and told he couldn't do stuff his whole life. He's defied the odds, 2-time walk-on in college. Okay? And managed to win a Heisman, be the first pick in the draft, you know, break the NFL. Took him 13 starts to break a record that was set by Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson that required them 16 starts to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he has given fans hope that he could potentially be that transcendent player. I remember almost falling out of my chair when on a conference call during last season leading up to the game against the Saints and Drew Brees said, I think Baker Mayfield's going to be better than me. I was speechless. I couldn't believe that Drew said that. Now, if Baker is a shadow of what Drew Brees is,
yes,
we're in for one hell of a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say that I think Baker's going to be better than me, and Drew doesn't say stuff to say stuff
mm-hmm.
or to make headlines or to pat, you know, the meaningless platitude. That's not who he is. And I couldn't believe he said it. So it's going to take a transcendent effort to overcome all these demons that still somewhat hover over the Browns. And, you know, we'll see if they can do it. This year is going to be the first test to see if Baker Mayfield really is that guy that can do it.
Yeah, and if there was anyone in that draft, they're picking first overall, I think it's Baker who could have done it. You look at Rose and you look at Darnold, they just, to me, aren't that.
Yeah.
And that's why Baker made so much sense, is he gives you that. And he showed it year one as a rookie. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they put around him. Jarvis Landry was his number one. I'm not saying Jarvis Landry isn't a good wide receiver. He got put into the Pro Bowl today with DeAndre Hopkins going down. But
by the way, nothing against Jarvis, but the Pro Bowl's a joke.
Jarvis Landry's your number one. Rashad Perriman was a bust in Baltimore.
Yeah,
he suddenly works with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, well, he came here and he all of a sudden learned how to catch a football.
It's
just great.
It's crazy.
Well done, Adam Henry.
But that might be the Baker effect to a degree, right? We used to joke about it with Peyton Manning when he was in Indianapolis and then Denver. Oh, you give him whoever and he's going to make him good. People joke about Tom Brady. Give him a 5'10 white slot wide receiver, he's going to make him good. Anyone could do that. Everyone jokes about that stuff, but high-end quarterbacks get more out of low-end talent, and Baker showed that as a rookie. Not many rookie quarterbacks could have gotten that out of Perriman or whoever you want to say, even Landry.
How about 9 different guys caught touchdown passes from Baker over the second half of the season?
Spread it around.
There have been seasons where 9 guys did not catch a touchdown pass for the Cleveland Browns. And he was able to do that. You're laughing? I am dead serious.
No, I know you are. I know you are. Maybe
again,
I shouldn't laugh.
I'm going to, as we go through, you're going to learn just how much the Cleveland Browns have sucked over the years.
I need a cigarette and a Fresca.
Yes. I mean, there are things that I'm going to mention, and you're just going to be like, really? Like, no, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. But yeah, 9 different guys caught touchdown passes in the second half of the season from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that's a ton, but that's a testament to him, I think, and that's a testament to Freddie, both of which are still here. That's not Greg Williams. That's not, you know, anybody else. So I think that to me, if you're a Browns fan, should excite you for
that. I mean, anyone that's willing to let Jarvis Landry throw a ball 63 yards down the field, I mean.
Maybe that's why he's going to the Pro Bowl. Some of these quarterbacks don't want to show up. You know, maybe Brady or Mahomes. You know, hey, we're going to let Jarvis play quarterback. Now, I would tune into the Pro Bowl for that. If Jarvis Landry's playing quarterback, I'm watching. No, you're not watching at all? I'm not watching normally.
I hate the Pro Bowl. I hate it. Guys don't want to get hurt, which you respect and understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real legit football. I think the Pro Bowl should be you're a Pro Bowler, and that's it. I hate the third and fourth alternate stuff. I mean, good for Jarvis that he's going. He keeps his Pro Bowl streak alive 4 straight years. That's all great. And I'm not ripping on Jarvis.
Yeah.
It's just, I think when you're going 4, 5, 6, when you're going deep in the alternate pool to replace guys, I can't get excited about it. You know what I mean?
I don't think anyone's excited about it. Yeah, I'm with you.
No. I mean, yeah.
Didn't even have 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Didn't have I think he had 83 catches this past year, which is, for him, a bad year.
Yeah.
How about that, though? Think about that for a second. Jarvis Landry caught 83 footballs, almost had 1,000 yards receiving, and by his standards, that was a bad year.
No, he's a really good player.
He's a great player.
I think he's a high-end two in this league on a Super Bowl caliber team.
By Cleveland Browns standards, he's an elite player.
Sure.
Again, this is how much the Cleveland Browns have sucked. This is how deep of an abyss that they're climbing themselves out of.
Well, that's why you trade for him. You got to get talent. And that's the thing John Dorsey, and you mentioned it, that's the thing John Dorsey said. All right, we have all these assets. Can we turn them into players?
Well, they gave up a 4 and a 7 for him. They didn't give it. That's the thing. Like, they didn't give anything up for him. They gave up a 4 last year and a 7 this year.
Mm-hmm.
For Jarvis Landry, for the guy who, by the way, led you in receptions, led you in receiving yards.
Mm-hmm. Easy. No brainer.
Genius. I mean, you had to pay him, but that's fine. You gave up DeShone Kizer and a mid-round pick, and you got Demaryius Randle, who's like your almost your MVP in the middle of your defense.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up nothing to get him. Like, I mean, John, and that's why, again, you can feel good about them moving forward, because you already look at what he's done in such a short amount of time with the roster,
mm-hmm,
and how he overhauled it. And I've said this on the air, I've written it. He's not going out this year and having to replace 90% of the starters on the football team. Now he's looking for 1 or 2 starters on each side of the ball. And then he's looking for backups.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for depth.
Now they're going to get depth. And now they're going to hit the ground running, Daryl.
So that if Denzel Ward gets a concussion, or he turns his ankle or something, or Miles Garrett, some, you know, turns his ankle, whatever, that you don't miss a beat, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel so good about them going forward. But yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not going to crown them a playoff team next year, because they really are going to have to go out and earn it. This season's going to be a tremendous test when it comes in late August, early September.
He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. We're going to take a quick break, get into Championship Sunday, and talk about Corey Kluber. Spend a few minutes on the Indians ace. We'll do that next on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back into the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Erpine. He is Daryl Ryder. We cover the Indians, the Browns, the Cavs for 92.3 The Fan. Thank you for tuning into the first episode, the first of many, Daryl. Let's dive into Championship Sunday. It's going to be a snowy Sunday here in Cleveland, which means it's going to be perfect. If you have to go out, you can listen to the games on 92.3 The Fan. If not, you can sit at home, watch them. It's Rams at Saints, 3:05. Winner going to the Super Bowl. Who you like in this one? I think you're biased.
Saints. I'm not picking the Rams. Get out of here.
Saints 3.5-point favorites at home. They beat the Rams earlier this season.
Drew Brees is not losing in the dome to the freaking Rams, which I believe, if I remember correctly, the Saints dismantled the Rams the first time.
I think this is going to be a good game.
I think it is, too.
I think it's going to be a really good game.
The genius of Sean McVay is going to have to wait till next year, though.
You think?
Yes.
I think you're speaking from your heart here.
No. Drew just turned 40, man. He's going to celebrate in style.
He might. No, he might. I think I like the Rams, partially because it was my prediction before the season. It was my prediction when we were asked our prediction. So I'm rolling with the Rams here.
I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl this year, so I'm sticking with the Saints.
I don't blame you. To me, what'll be most interesting is Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. Can they slow those guys down and get the ball out of Breeze's hands? If that happens, good luck, because you're not beating them in the dome. You're right.
I got two names for you. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. Good night, everybody.
That simple to you?
Yep.
Mine's Drew Brees.
Ball him, too.
You just, you know, Drew Brees, too.
Hey, you just assume him.
Yeah.
He's assumed.
They're good, man.
I know they're good.
They're so good. Fair to say this? Super Bowl winner comes out of the NFC?
Yes. Absolutely. Because
I'm leaning that way.
I think the Patriots are going to beat the Chiefs.
Do you really?
Yeah. Andy Reid always.
Oh, come on.
Andy Reid always chokes in the playoffs. We know this. I was actually shocked they won last week. I thought for sure they were going to keep that streak alive. Like, they had, like, the Cleveland streak of streaks going with the home playoff losses consecutive.
Yeah, but they found their Baker.
Yeah. Well, they also played the Colts. so that helped. But, I think the Patriots gonna beat them. I don't think they give a crap that it's going to be, like, 10 degrees below zero. And Tom Brady's going to be back in the Super Bowl, and he's going to lose again, and then he's going to retire, hopefully. Hopefully Giselle will be like, all right, you lost two straight Super Bowls, you're done.
Yeah, I think they do lose if they advance there. Yeah. But I think they lose Sunday. I think the Patriots lose to the Chiefs. To me, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they're just better.
You're forgetting Andy Reid.
I think Andy Reid's a really good coach.
He's a good coach. He sucks in the playoffs.
Everyone sucks with Alex Smith. It's Alex Smith.
He sucked at Philadelphia in the playoffs.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb, a little overrated. Pat Mahomes, really good.
They had some really good teams in Philadelphia.
No doubt about it. I'm not saying no doubt about it, you know? But
Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, just it's like me and my name and intelligence, and they just don't fit.
I think it's gonna happen. I think Pat Mahomes, he's gonna celebrate with ketchup on his.
You think the Walrus is going to the Super Bowl?
I do. Wow. He could celebrate with fast food.
Oh, you can go to the White House.
That's
then.
Right, dude. I would love a buffet like that. I'm not saying at the White House I'd expect that, but a buffet of fast food.
That was a great scene this week. Congratulations for winning a national championship. Now here's a buffet of fast food.
It sounds amazing. I'm starving right now. I'll take that right now. I even tweeted about it. I would take that right now.
Have your pick of burgers and pizza and fries and chicken nuggets.
What out of that don't you like?
Oh, I like it all.
Yeah, see? You came in here eating a honey bun and a sweet tea.
Listen, just because I make fun of it does not mean that I would not enjoy it. I'm allowed to see the humor and stuff.
Gotcha. Fair. No, I do think it's a little funny. I do think it's kind of funny you show up to the White House.
Listen, if I'm going to the White House,
here's your quarter pounder.
I am not expecting a quarter pounder with cheese or a Big Mac. I mean, I'm expecting like filet mignon, caviar, fine wine, like... When you talk about dining at the White House, that's what I'm thinking of. I am not thinking of Wendy's.
Clemson couldn't have had fine wine, though. I will
say
that.
Some of them could. The guys that are 21 could.
Dabo.
Dabo could.
Dabo
You know what? No, Dabo's not a wine guy. He's a beer guy.
Is he?
Yeah, really? You don't think Dabo Sweeney crushes beer?
He might. I don't know.
I just can't see Dabo Sweeney
throwing back some wine.
No.
10 years ago, though, if you would have said wine was taking over the NBA, everyone would have laughed, and it is.
Well, it is. LeBron James, that's why. Everyone wants to be like LeBron. As soon as LeBron started putting that on his Instagram story or Instagram, whatever they call it.
Insta story.
Insta story, as Bill Belichick would say. Ever since he started doing that, and then in interviews when he'd be like asked about it and stuff, and he started openly talking about it, then everyone's like, oh, it's cool to do now, so we're all doing it. How about him walking into, the Staples Center, and he had a glass of wine
love
in his hand?
Yeah, love it, love it. Do you like wine? I can do a glass of wine every now and then. Glass of wine every now and then.
Fun fact about me, which will give plenty of material for the haters out there. I am not a wine drinker, avid. I get a hangover more from wine than I do beer or liquor.
I think that's common, actually, that some people react different to wine versus liquor versus beer. Yeah.
Right. But I don't drink a lot of beer either. I'm kind of like a mixed cocktail, like my Jack Daniels, my rum, you know, like that's kind of where I'm at.
So when you're warming up on Sunday afternoon watching these games, Jack and Coke in hand, that would be your
boom.
Go-to.
Yep. Okay. How do you think I've survived 20 seasons of Cleveland Browns football?
A lot of Jack.
I had
and
a lot of
Coke.
Help from Jack Daniels. There you go.
Your friend Jack. Well, hopefully those times are past. Hopefully that's it.
Hopefully.
You realize if that happens, I promise, and I'm telling you now, I'm taking credit.
What? If they
I become the good luck charm.
If they win the Super Bowl or if they make the playoffs?
Yeah, like if the next decade of Browns football is just awesome, I'll be like, yeah, I moved here. And
you realize for them to get back to like 500 in the expansion era, they have to be like 15-1 for the next 20 years.
They need Bill Belichick and 25-year-old Tom Brady to come back.
Pretty much.
And rebuild their dynasty. Real quick, because you wanted to talk about this, and Tribe Fest. Tribe Fest was last weekend, and all these rumors are circling around about should the Indians trade Corey Kluber, should they trade Trevor Bauer, yada, yada, yada. And I wrote about this at 92.3thefan.com probably a month ago, but it was like, why don't you just improve in free agency? You have the money that you freed up. Keep your starters intact. Makes a lot of sense to me. What say you?
Well, you know, hey, when you're trying to win a World Series, if you can trade a two-time Cy Young Award winner, you just have to do it. I over the years, have been heavily critical of the Indians, mostly in the Mark Shapiro era. And the reason I was so critical, I can't take defeatist attitude. And Mark... As much as I liked him as a person and as much as I respected his intelligence, the one thing that drove me bat-you-know-what crazy was his defeatist attitude of, we're mid-market, we can only do so much. If we can compete every once in a while like the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins, whatever the F they used to call themselves and call themselves now, then that's what we have to hope for. And he said that after they had to trade Cliff Lee. And I get it. They can't afford to do
and this is a this isn't their fault. This is Major League Baseball's fault. Mm-hmm. Francisco Lindor should finish his career a Cleveland Indian. There's no chance in hell he finishes his career as an Indian.
It doesn't feel like it.
No, there's no. It's not even feel like it. It's not going to happen because the Indians aren't going to be able to keep him. They can't. He will cost their entire payroll to keep him. And so my issue that I always had with the Indians wasn't the whole cheap Dolan's thing and stuff like that, because I get it. When you're a mid-market team, you can't spend what the New York Yankees spent. But what I couldn't stand about Mark Shapiro was his defeatist attitude. I wanted him to sit up there and say, you know what? Yeah, it really sucks we had to trade Cliff Lee, and he's the second Cy Young Award winner I've had to trade. But you know what? Damn it, my job's to find a way to win a World Series here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. We have financial constraints that we have to deal with. We don't get to spend like the Yankees. We have no margin error here. But damn it, my job is to find a way to get it done. And I'm going to do it. That's what I always wanted to hear from Mark Shapiro. And I never heard it. And that's why I just ripped them at every opportunity I could rip them for. Now, with Chris Antonetti as the president, turn off the GM, Tito. When Tito walked in the door prior to 2013, the entire it's kind of like the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changed. The attitude of the organization changed. The can-do attitude of the organization changed. The competitive level of the entire organization changed. So I've been less critical of them in recent years because of that. But I recognize the financial challenges that they have, and it sucks that they can't go out and sign the middle reliever that they need for $7 million because they can't afford to do it. Their payroll last year was over $140 million, and that for them was record payroll for them. When they signed Edwin Encarnacion for $20 million a year, I know they just traded him,
mm-hmm.
but they brought back, I think Carlos is making $19 million, so it's not like they dumped payroll by making that trade because they got Carlos Santana back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when they made that signing, that for them was A, uncharacteristic, and B, it was out of their comfort zone. I remember they gave Travis Hafner a contract extension for $10 million a year. He got hurt. And that was like this big shackle around their neck for years, that contract. Kerry Wood, I think, they gave him like $10 million. He came here for a year and he sucked. Like, so they have tried to spend money. And every time I feel like they've tried to spend money, it's bit them in the backside. Because they can't, if the players either get hurt or mm-hmm. they underperform or whatever, like they keep, if they spend money, if they spend premium dollars, they absolutely have to get premium performance for those premium dollars. There's no margin of error for them. If the Yankees go out and sign someone for $20 million, who gives a crap if he hits 230 with, 15 homers and 55 RBI? Because they just go out and spend another $20 million on another guy that can get them the 40 home runs and 120 ribbies and a 300 batting average. They're like, the Indians, they can't afford to do that. And it sucks they're in the position that they're in. So they've cut payroll this year,
mm-hmm.
and their payroll is going to be cut. And yeah, I'm semi-critical of that because I know what they spent last year. But I also have to respect the fact that they spent out of their comfort zone last year. And you know what they had to show for it? Another divisional round exit.
So do you think they'll add at all? I think they have to add.
They have to add.
They have to. I mean, bullpen, outfield, two places you have to add.
Here's the only way I'm okay with them trading Corey Kluber. Is if you get me an all-star outfielder in return.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
If you give me an out, and then obviously, let's see. Conversation for Corey Kluber has to start as follows. All-star outfielder bat, bullpen arm, and a starting pitcher. I need a fifth starter. Okay?
There's no way they're getting three starters for him. I promise.
No. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay? But you want my two-time Cy Young Award winner. That's what I want.
It should be a high cut.
You know what I'm saying? So,
And I think it is. There's a reason they haven't traded him.
Right.
So I think their asking price is higher than...
I'd rather him trade Trevor Bauer. Like, if I can trade Trevor Bauer just for one player,
mm-hmm.
done. I think I'm okay with that. The other thing, too, I think with the Kluber thing is his age.
Yeah.
He is in his 30s. And so they may be looking... So, like, I'm object... Like, And I admit, I've ripped him on Twitter for the Kluber talk and the trade conversation, stuff like that. And I own that. I stand by what I tweet and what I say and whatever. Sure. And I know they don't like it over there, 2401 Ontario. They hate me for it, but that's just how I feel. But I also recognize their position, where they're coming from, and I recognize the situation. Just because, though, I recognize that situation, James, don't mean I have to like it, though.
Sure.
It doesn't mean I have to be.
No, why would you? And fans don't have to like it either.
You know what I mean? So I look at it through a little different lens. Because mm-hmm. To me, on the surface, if you're trying to win a World Series, I want a Cy Young Award winner on my team.
Yeah.
I certainly want a multiple Cy Young Award.
Yeah, but I want this starting rotation that could be the best right. in baseball.
But age plus salary plus resume might be an opportunity for them to solidify the ball club going forward. Because I think, Frankie's got 2 more years of control mm-hmm. or 3? I forget.
I believe it's 2.
Okay.
I would have to check to
so
make sure.
But that's my window. Because once I lose Frankie Lindor, I'm out. I'm done. Okay? So I have to be organizationally, whatever it is. If it's 2 or 3 years or 4 years, whatever. I don't have it in front of me and it's not my... But my point is Francisco Lindor is your window of contention. Okay. And so as long as I have him and Jose Ramirez, those two guys, I need to be all in. I need to spend whatever it takes to win, and I'll deal with the consequences down the road when I have to rebuild the baseball team. But right now, your window is still open with the, you know, with those guys. And so, yeah, I mean, I hate the fact that we have to sit and talk and contemplate about making a move like that.
I like 3, if you include 2019. Okay. So through 2021.
It's 3 years of control. So mm-hmm. But that's your window. So now you have until 2021 to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. That's your window.
So that to me means keep Kluber. Unless you get something that's going to help you tremendously, you keep Bauer and you improve the team in free agency.
But
that's how it looked. That to me, and that doesn't mean make big splashes. We're not right. talking Bryce Harper here.
Yeah, like Harper, and the fact that Harper and Machado are like unsigned right now blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. In that, I think that favors the Indians to a degree.
I understand that, but because those are guys that if I'm understanding the economics of the game and where salaries are, you know, those are all of a sudden like $30 million a year players, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So why aren't they signed? I know why. Because teams don't have $30 million a year to invest in a single player. And it's not just $30 million for 1 year. It's $30 million for 5 mm-hmm. or for 6. That's...
Or 8. You know, I mean, that's where Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are.
What was
asking.
It? A-Rod's contract with the Texas Rangers when mm-hmm. he signed with them? Mm-hmm. That flipped not just Major League Baseball, but that like flipped all the professional sports on its head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that
yep.
was signed.
When it was signed, yep.
And Harper and Machado, you know, you look at those two guys and you anticipate that's what those signings are going to be. They're going to, when they sign, it's now going to set the market for Frankie Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like I said, it's not the Indians' fault. I get it. And that is where sometimes I come off is a little too tough or maybe unfair, you know, when I tweet about the Indians and stuff like that. The economic faults of Major League Baseball are not their fault. It's the reality they have to play within. Mm-hmm. But the fact, just thinking about, you know, they invest all this time, energy, all these resources to bring this kid up. What's he getting this year? Like 10.5, something like that.
10.55.
So, and then they're going to have to watch him walk away because there's no way the Cleveland Indians can say, and Frankie's not going to sign for 20. He's worth 20. He's worth 30, but he's not going to sign for that. He's not going to sign for a discount. Why would he?
And he's not going to take less years. I think that's the key.
Right. You know, and what made the Indians so successful in the mid-90s with John Hart as the GM,
mm-hmm.
and what's made them somewhat successful in this run is they've always done a really good job of identifying their core pieces and buying. It's called you buy your arbitration year. So if you're eligible for arbitration, I think it's 3 years is the arbitration window. You mm-hmm. go through 3 years of that arbitration process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the franchise tag in the NFL. Yep. I got you for 2 years on the franchise tag if I can't get you signed to a long-term deal. So I got 3 years to sign you to a long-term deal. So what John Hart would do and what the Indians would do over the years is I'd say, hey, James, you're one of our core guys. You're in the final year of your deal here. Next year's coming up, arbitration. What I want to do is I want to sign you to a 4-year deal and buy those arbitration years from you. Mm-hmm. Pay you a little above what we think you're going to get in arbitration, so it's worth your while to do it.
And add an extra year.
But also at the same time, though, I get you for one extra year on the back end.
Yep.
Okay? And it was a brilliant strategy. By the way, I just want to point out, I'm praising the Cleveland Indians and how they've done business over the years. And they've tried to like maintain that. Unfortunately, with a guy like Frankie Lindor, they can't do it.
Well, because he's looking around like, why would I do that? Why?
Well, no, it's not him. It's his agent.
Well, sure.
Okay? So they couldn't do that. And I don't think they're going to be Jose Ramirez. I don't know if they'll be able to do that with him either.
Mm-mm.
You know, where you say, hey, you know, you're a core guy. We want to buy your arbitration years. We've projected what they're going to be worth. And here's the other thing, too, is what happened and what made it so brilliant for the Indians is they would get guys to outperform their contracts. Mm-hmm. So by the time you got to that third and fourth year on that contract that they signed, they were underpaid. And then the player was pissed because he was underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
For what? And okay, but that's just good business strategy. And unfortunately, there's no strategy for them to keep Frankie. There's no strategy for them to keep Jose. There's no strategy for them. There was no strategy for them to be able to keep Andrew Miller or anything like that. So it sucks, but that's just the reality of the situation.
He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine. That's going to do it for the first edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast. Make sure you follow Daryl on Twitter, at RyderWrongFan on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, at James Rapine. This was fun.
You didn't have to put fan on your Twitter?
I did not. They made you do that?
I am going to talk to the higher-ups.
No way. Not changing it to fan.
We can get
the little blue check. It'll take it away.
I'll make sure they get you a check mark.
It'll take it away. I don't want to take it away. When you change your handle, we can get it back. Can't risk it. Can't risk it. We'll be back next week talking Browns, Indians, and anything else plus the Cavs. We didn't talk about the Cavs much.
It's okay. The Cavs suck. We're good.
Which basically means
nobody's coming to this podcast to hear us talk about how much the Cavs suck.
Which basically means Zion Watch. We'll start it next week right here on the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.